So let me start this in by asking you a question. What legacy will you leave when you're gone? Now, what do I mean? A legacy is a part of a person that lives on long after that person has either moved on to a different place or has passed into eternity. Now, perhaps it's hard to think about what legacy you will leave behind. Maybe you could think of famous figures, historical figures that have influenced the world in such a way that they left a lasting legacy. Or maybe relatives or friends that have had a lasting impact on the people around them. Of course, in Emmanuel recently, we've had the retirement of Pastor Bernard. What legacy has he left behind? What will people remember about his time in Emmanuel? Maybe it's too early yet. Time will tell. But today I want us to look at one of the most famous people in the world history who left an important legacy. And his name was Abraham. And we read mostly about his life in Genesis chapters 11 to 25. So if you have a Bible this morning, please turn with me to Genesis chapter 25. So that's the first book of the Bible, and we're going to read verses 1 to 11. And these verses look at the very end of Abraham's life. So Genesis chapter 25, and we're going to read verses 1 to 11. Abraham took another wife, whose name was Keturah. She bore him Zimran, Jokshan, Medan, Midian, Ishbak, and Shur. Jokshan fathered Sheba and Dedan. The sons of Dedan were Asherim, Letushim, and Leumim. The sons of Midian were Epher, Epher, Hanok, Abida, and Eldar. All these were the children of Keturah. Abraham gave all he had to Isaac. But to the sons of his concubines, Abraham gave gifts. But while he was still living, he sent them away from his son Isaac, eastward to the east country. These are the days of the years of Abraham's life, 175 years. Abraham breathed his last and died in a good old age, an old man and full of years, and was gathered to his people. Isaac and Ishmael, his sons, buried him in the cave of Machpelah in the field of Ephron, the son of Zohar the Hittite, east of Mamre, the field that Abraham purchased from the Hittites. There Abraham was buried with Sarah his wife. And after the death of Abraham, God blessed Isaac his son, and Isaac settled at Beer Lahairoi. Now, in the church in which I work, we've been going through this book of Genesis. So we've learned a lot about Abraham's life. But I'm sure if I was to ask any of you, you'd be able to tell me at least one thing about Abraham. Even if you haven't gone to Sunday school or spent a long time in church, you would have at least heard of Abraham. So I don't intend to tell you many details about Abraham's life. I want us rather to look at what legacy he left behind. What happened to Abraham's family after he'd gone? Now, we know he was an important historical figure. Even today, he is important to Christians and Jews and Muslims. And to the Jews, he is the father of their nation. But what does the rest of the Bible tell us about Abraham? So I want us to answer two questions this morning. What was Abraham's legacy? And also, what happened to Abraham's sons? So before trying to answer these questions, let's look briefly at these verses in chapter 25 of Genesis, just to get some context and background. So these verses point us to the most important part of Abraham's life, God's promises. Again and again, God had promised to give Abraham many descendants and a land for his family to call their own. He had also promised that through his family, the whole world would be blessed. And you can see that in Genesis 12, Genesis 13, Genesis 15, Genesis 22. And here in chapter 25, we see that Abraham did indeed have many descendants. We read, Keterah had 6 sons, 7 grandsons, and 3 great-grandsons. Hagar's son Ishmael had 12 sons. And Sarah's grandson Jacob, the son of Isaac, had 12 sons. But the sons of Keterah and Hagar were not the sons of the covenant like Isaac, the son of Sarah. Abraham gave them gifts and blessed them, but they were not allowed to live in the promised land of Canaan. The land of Canaan was for Isaac only and his descendants. And at the time of Abraham's death, the only part of the land that Canaan that he owned was the field and the cave in which he was buried. Then the last verse of this section emphasizes how the blessing that Abraham had from God was now given to Isaac. God will bless the nations through the family of Abraham. God had promised these great things to Abraham. They were only partly fulfilled during his lifetime. But Abraham trusted that God will fulfill these promises in his time. And so we read in verses 7 to 8 that Abraham died. Abraham died of a good old age, an old man and full of years. We might say he had a good innings, 175 years. 100 of those years were spent in Canaan after being called by God to leave his homeland. And he had been greatly blessed by God during his life. So that's the end of the historical record we have of Abraham's life in the book of Genesis. Started at the beginning, at the end of chapter 11, and now comes to an end at chapter 25. And I've only given you a very brief introduction to Abraham and the promises given by God, but we'll refer back to them as we now look at those two questions I asked at the beginning. What was Abraham's legacy and what happened to Abraham's sons? And it's good that we look at what the whole Bible has to say about Abraham. And I want us to really understand the answers to these questions, because the truth is they should affect how we live as Christians. So the first question, what was Abraham's legacy? Now, outside of the book of Genesis, Abraham is mentioned 44 times in the Old Testament and 71 times in the New Testament. He is described as God's servant, a man of faith and patience and obedience. Now, Abraham was not always faithful in what he did and what he said, and he wasn't perfect. He was a sinner like you and me. But in the books of 2 Chronicles chapter 20 and Isaiah chapter 41 and James chapter 2, Abraham is described as God's friend. Imagine that, being called a friend of God. The relationship that Abraham had with God was intimate, and it was a relationship that grew as he spent 100 years in following God. And simply put, Abraham's legacy is the fact that sinful people can be friends with a holy God. Now, how can this be true? If you've got a Bible today, maybe you can look with me at various passages that will help us to understand this question. But let me first of all take you to some words spoken by Jesus to his disciples. In John chapter 15 and verses 12 and following, Jesus says this to his disciples: "This is my commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you. Greater love is no one than this, that someone laid down his life for his friends. You are my friends if you do what I command you. No longer do I call you servants, for the servant does not know what his master is doing. But I have called you friends, for all that I have heard from my Father, I have made known to you." Jesus, the Son of God, was saying that his disciples could be his friends, as Abraham was God's friend. And these words were not only referring to the disciples, but to all God's people. Jesus extends this privilege to all believers. Therefore, we too can be Jesus's friends, God's friends. How? Jesus said, "You are my friends if you do what I command you." Now, if you take that verse out of context, it sounds that we can only be God's friends if we do what he tells us to do. The more we obey God, the better friend we will be. But that's religion. Religion says, if I do this and that, then God will bless me. If I follow the Ten Commandments, then that will please God. if I read the Bible, if I go to church, if I pray, if I sing worship songs, then God will accept me and I can then know him. Sadly, this is how many Christians think. They say we are saved by grace alone, through faith alone, in Christ alone. But their daily lives are essentially spent trying to earn God's favor and resting their salvation on being good enough. They say, now I am a Christian, I must do everything I can to make sure God is happy with me. And if that's what you're thinking, then you've not only misunderstood what Jesus was saying, but you've misunderstood the life of Abraham. Let's come back to those verses in John chapter 15. Jesus says, but I have called you friends, for all that I've heard from my Father, I have made known to you. You did not choose me, but I chose you. Jesus is saying that he calls us friends not because of something that we do. He calls us friends because he has made known to us the truth of the gospel. In other words, the truth of salvation and forgiveness of sins, if we trust in the completed work of Jesus himself. Jesus' perfect and sinless life, his substitutionary death on the cross, and his victorious resurrection from the dead. Then Jesus goes on to say that we are his friends because he has chosen us. We did not choose him to be our friend. He chose us. And Abraham, as you look through his life, understood this truth. Abraham knew that it was God who initiated the relationship between them, as it was God who initiated the relationship he has with all his people. Before Abraham could learn obedience, he was chosen by God to be in relationship with him. And before Abraham could prove himself worthy, God had chosen to be his friend. Becoming a Christian is not about a decision we make to ask God into our lives. Becoming a Christian is about responding to God in faith as he calls us to live in relationship with him. We can only be a friend of God if he initiates that relationship. But wait a minute. What about this obedience that Jesus talks about in John chapter 15? What does Jesus say to his disciples? This is my commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you. You are my friends if you do what I command you. These things I command you, so that you will love one another. What were the disciples commanded to do? What are we commanded to do? To love each other as he has loved us. Or as Jesus says in Matthew chapter 22, you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and all your soul and all your mind. This is the great and first commandment. And a second is like it. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. What are we commanded to do? Be more religious, be better Christians, follow more rules, attend more meetings, read more books? No. We are commanded to love God and as a result, love others. He has called us into relationship with himself so that we can love him and love others. So we start with our relationship with God. Then we can be obedient in other things. It's not the other way around. It's not, I need to be more obedient so that I can have a better relationship with God. It is not, I need to be a better Christian, then I can be God's friend. It is, I will only be more obedient if I have a better relationship with God first. I will only love others as Jesus is commanding me to do if I'm already in a relationship with God. Now, let me show you how that worked out in Abraham's life. In Romans chapter 4, Paul talks a lot about Abraham and his relationship with God. And Paul quotes from Genesis 15, verse 6, and he says, Abraham believed God, and it was counted to him as righteousness. Paul then goes on to show that Abraham was counted as righteous in the sight of God, not because of the good works that he did, but because of his trust in God. Abraham believed in the promises of God and was counted as righteous. Abraham had a relationship with God based on who God was rather than what Abraham did. God chose Abraham. He called Abraham to follow him. He made a covenant with Abraham and gave Abraham great promises and counted him as righteous. And this was before Abraham was tested to sacrifice Isaac. It was before he obeyed the commandment to be circumcised. All of Abraham's good works came as a result of his relationship with God. And James also makes the same point in chapter 2 of his letter. He quotes the same verse in Genesis 15 and then goes on to show how good works are evidence of God's saving work in someone's life. If a person is counted as righteous by God, then they will do good works, not out of duty or a way to get more blessing, but as a way to honor God as their redeemer and friend. Or as it says in Ephesians 2, verses 8 to 10, for by grace you have been saved through faith. This is not your own doing. It is the gift of God, not a result of works, so that no one may boast. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. Salvation is a gift from God. Grace and faith are gifts from God. They are not things we earn. But if we are in Christ, if we are following Christ as our Lord and our Saviour, and indeed our friend, then we will do good works of God's choosing, good works that will demonstrate our love for him and our love for others, and good works done in his strength, according to his leading and for his glory. So what was Abraham's legacy? Remember what he said? Abraham's legacy is that sinners can be friends with God. That's not just being mates with God or buddies or pals. It's a deep, intimate, loving, respectful, and honoring relationship with a holy God. Abraham's legacy is most importantly about what God did in his life. Abraham's legacy was that God chose him to be his friend, even though he was unfaithful himself. So if you're not a Christian, come to God today, confessing your sin, admitting that there is nothing you can do to earn salvation and forgiveness of sins, and putting your trust completely in what he has done in Christ Jesus, and then follow him out of love and praise and gratitude. But if you are a Christian here today, come to God today, confessing your sin, love God with your whole being. Get to know God better. Put your relationship with God first. That relationship is based on who he is and what he has done. That relationship does not depend on how good you are or how religious you are. If we are in Christ, if we have been saved, if we have been redeemed, if we have been forgiven, then there is nothing we have or do that will make God love us more. And there is nothing we can do to make God love us less. And are we fully aware, as the church calendar text says, that God will remember our sins no more? We can be secure knowing that our salvation and eternal destiny are in his hands. And let's come back to Abraham again, this time Hebrews chapter 11. Where it says that God was not ashamed to be his God. God was not ashamed to be called Abraham's God. He who has chosen us and called us is faithful, unchanging, and able to keep us forever. Please don't live your lives worrying that we are not good enough as Christians. Yes, there's still sin present in your life. Confess it to God. Yes, there are still things you don't understand and things you still struggle with. Take them to God in prayer. Yes, you are not where you want to be as a Christian. But come back to the cross. Come back to what Jesus has done for you. Come back to the God who has saved you for his purposes and for his glory and for your good. And as a result of knowing God better, then you will love and serve others. Abraham was counted as righteous because of what God had done in his life. Abraham was then obedient out of love and out of faith in the promises and purposes of God. Even when Abraham was unfaithful, God was still faithful. God did not end the covenant with Abraham when he lied to Abimelech or took Hagar as his wife. God did not love Abraham more because he was willing to sacrifice his son Isaac. So it is with us if we are Christians, trusting God who is faithful and unchanging, rather than in your own weakness and sin. Be assured that he will keep you until the end, even if you fail and mess up. So there you have it, Abraham's legacy. We, even as unfaithful sinners, can be friends with God. But friends on his terms and for his glory, walking with God in love and faith and obedience. Now, more briefly, let's look at the second question. What happened to Abraham's sons? Come back to Genesis chapter 25 and verse 5. Abraham gave all he had to Isaac. And verse 6. But to the sons of his concubines, Abraham gave gifts. And while he was still living, he sent them away from his son Isaac. And then verse 11. God blessed Isaac, his son. So there's a definite distinction between Isaac and the other sons of Abraham. Ishmael was the firstborn son and was blessed by God, but he wasn't the chosen one. Isaac was the son of covenant. And Isaac was the son given by God to Abraham and Sarah in their old age. And as you go through the rest of Genesis, you will see God kept his covenant with the descendants of Abraham through Isaac. So in Genesis 26, God speaks to Isaac and blesses him and promises the same that he promised Abraham. Genesis 28, God does the same to Jacob. And throughout the Old Testament, you have the God of the covenant described as the God of Abraham and Isaac and Jacob. And the Israelites, the children of Israel, the descendants of the covenant promises of Abraham. But by the time you get to the New Testament, you see that the Jewish people had lost the real meaning of this. They saw themselves as privileged people because of they could trace their human ancestry back to Abraham. But being a descendant of Abraham was not about human lineage. It was about the covenant that God had with his people. And Jesus addressed this situation. For example, in Matthew 3, Jesus says to the Pharisees, "Do not presume to say to yourselves, 'We have Abraham as our father.' For I tell you, God is able, even from these stones, to raise up children for Abraham." Being a child of God was not because of nationality or heritage. Being a child of God was because you were chosen by God according to his covenant, his promises, and his purposes. Paul picks up this point in Romans chapter 9, verses 6 to 8. He says there, "For not all are descended from Israel that belong to Israel, and not all are children of Abraham because they are his offspring. But through Isaac shall your offspring be named. This means that it is not the children of the flesh who are the children of God, but the children of the promise are counted as offspring." Paul is showing that the true children of Abraham are the children of God. That includes people from every nation, not just the Jewish nation. The children of God are those who have been saved in Christ alone. Again, Romans chapter 8 and 1 John 3 help us to see this. So therefore, if we are children, if we are Christians, we are children of Abraham and therefore children of God, not by flesh, but by promise. Again, have you ever thought about that? Abraham looked forward to the fulfillment of God's promises regarding his descendants. And those promises were ultimately filled in Jesus. God sent his only son that whoever believes in him should not perish but have eternal life. If we trust in Jesus Christ, we too can be sons of Abraham and therefore sons and children of God. And Paul explains this clearly in Galatians chapter 3. There's lots of verses in Galatians 3, but let me read you a few of them. "Just as Abraham believed God and it was counted to him as righteousness, know then that it is those of faith who are the sons of Abraham. Now the promises were made to Abraham and to his offspring. Does not say, and to offsprings, referring to many, but referring to one, and to your offspring, who is Christ. And if you are Christ's, then you are Abraham's offspring, heirs according to promise. So why is this important? Because as God was faithful and trustworthy to his covenant promises with Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, so will he be with his children in Christ. So I asked the question, what happened to Abraham's sons? I should have asked, what is happening to Abraham's sons and daughters? Because if you are a believer, then you are a son and daughter of Abraham. That is, you are a son and daughter according to promise, according to the work of God in grace and mercy in your life, according to the completed work of Jesus Christ. And that's amazing. That should be a great encouragement to you, that in Christ, you can come to the Almighty God as Father. Not only as Abraham's heir, but as a joint heir with Christ, adopted into God's family. So much we can say about this. And maybe over this week, you can spend time reading and praying about these things. But for now, let's come back to these two questions. What was Abraham's legacy? That sinners such as you and me can be friends with God. And what happened to Abraham's sons? If we are in Christ Jesus, we are not only sons and daughters of Abraham, but we are called children of God. Let me finish by asking you another question, especially for Christians. Are you truly living as friends and children of God? What is your relationship with God like at the moment? Can you say there is deep intimacy? Do you love God with your whole being? Do you know God not only as your friend, but as your heavenly Father? And do other people know that you are God's friend and God's child? I wonder if at times like this, times that we are living in, we lose the wonder of the gospel and get carried away by the world's way of thinking, so much so that we just blend in with the world around us. Let me take you to the last few verses. Paul in Philippians chapter 2, verses 14 and 15 says this. Philippians chapter 2. Do all things without grumbling or disputing, that you may be blameless and innocent, children of God, without blemish in the midst of a crooked and twisted generation, among whom you shine as lights in the world. So are we truly living as friends and children of God? Then if you are, you will not be spending your days grumbling and disputing. That's not to say we should sail through life with problem-free, with a permanent smile on our face, but it does mean that the way that we deal with trials and struggles and temptations and difficulties and even pandemics should be different to the rest of the world, because we have been chosen by God to be in relationship with him. Paul said we should be shining as lights in a crooked and twisted generation. The NIV says shining as stars, as a definite contrast between shining as lights and being crooked and twisted. Or as Jesus says in Matthew chapter 5, let your light shine before others so that they may see your good works and give glory to your Father who is in heaven. Our lives, what we do as Christians, should shine in such a way that God is glorified through them. Let me give you an example. Right now, I'm sure we all have views on COVID-19 and government lockdowns, but they're not things that we should be drawing people's attention to. We should not be spending time joining in the grumbling and the complaining and the moaning and the disputing or thinking about various conspiracy theories. We should be pointing people to a sovereign, almighty God who is willing to call us his friends and even his children, even if because we are forgiven and saved in Christ. We should be showing by our lives that we are trusting in a faithful God who has called us to love him and to love others for their good and for his glory. So I pray that we understand these things. So what was Abraham's legacy? That sinners such as you and me can be friends with God. And what happened to Abraham's sons? We are in Christ, then we are sons and daughters of Abraham. But more than this, we are children of God. Amen.